الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. For his well-being, recite the second one louder. And inshallah, all of you and myself become his true companions. Recite the third one even louder. Yesterday, after the event of Karbala, the Imam and the leadership of Imam al-Sajjad Salamullah alayhi began. The line of leadership, the message, the path of Imam continued through Imam al-Sajjad all the way, as we know, until the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. However, the form of teaching and what he emphasized on, what he spent time on, what we can say was the objective that he tried to accomplish and achieve during his time of imamah was different. Actually, the following imams after Imam al-Husayn differ with Imam al-Husayn and the two other imams before them, Imam al-Mujtaba and Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. The mission of the Imam, Imam al-Sajjad, and the following imams becomes to train and educate individuals. The goal and the objective that was emphasized on during the time of the previous imams, Amir al-Mu'mineen's time, Imam al-Mujtaba's time, Imam al-Husayn's time, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, is not that directly. What we see them doing is emphasizing on Islamic leadership, the presence of it in public, in society, or if we can say it in other words, emphasizing on the Islamic government. That's what the imams emphasize on. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi does not have many sayings that are recorded from him compared to, let's say, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. The number of du'as that we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen compared to Imam al-Sajjad, for example. What we do have from Amir al-Mu'mineen are, the biggest compilation is what we know of is Nahjul Balagha. Nahjul Balagha, which of course is incomplete, there's been an effort, may Allah reward him, one of the ulama recently tried to compile the rest of the sayings, the sermons of the Imam, the letters of the Imam. It's much more than what you just see in that little a book called Nahjul Balagha, because the point, what Sharif al-Radi rahmatullah alayhi found in common and was his objective, was to collect the sermons based on the eloquence. That's the title of the book. The eloquence was the most important thing. So he took parts of sermons, parts of letters, and he sometimes did not even bring the sermon or the letter at all. Anyway, that's been compiled, but those are sermons dealing with his time as the ruler, as the Khalifa. And we see actually some of the most important things that are discussed in Nahjul Balagha are in regards to government. Imam al-Mujtaba, we have very little from him. Words that are recorded, statements that are said, ahadith that are said, very little. Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi, again, it's not very much, especially when you compare that to like Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, Imam al-Kadhim, and the latter Imams. We find that the number of sayings that there exists is very little. If they were there, they would have been recorded. They would have been reported. We don't have that. Not that they didn't say anything, but they didn't get involved with the details of fiqh, for example. They didn't start and engage in training people like in universities. They didn't do that. The main objective was government. Of course, Islamic government, the purpose of it isn't the government in and of itself. It is a tool, an instrument. The reason why it was so important is that it was detrimental in being able to educate and train the masses. As an individual, you are able to train individuals, get a few people here and there, have classes, train them, but the masses, no, you're not going to be able to. You would have to be taking control, being the government, the governor. That is what it, if the governors, if the people in control are pious, righteous people, that is going to have a natural effect and reflection upon the people. When they are not, again, it is going to have a natural reflection on the people. This is very clear. But the objective, again, was training people. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, during the 25 years that he wasn't able to rule, he didn't even have the freedom and liberty to train people. He didn't. Well, a lot of people didn't even come to him, but the people that would have wanted to wouldn't have been allowed to. As soon as there would be a group of people around him, that would start scaring people off, the rulers away. But as soon as Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi took control and he became the Khalifa, he started training people. I said the important issues that are mentioned, what you find, the theme that you find in most of the sermons and the letters deals with social, political affairs in Nahjul Balagha. But that's not the only thing. And mixed into that, there's always a connection between the two. It's not politics, okay, let's talk about this person or the other person, what their views are. It's about, okay, is this right or wrong? Is this haq or batil? Why are you following this person? Why is that happening? This is wrong because this is not based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Your ruler should have these qualities. They should be righteous. So in between, he has these teachings as well. There's a report about Amir al-Mu'mineen in Kufa leading the prayers. He leads the prayers. Obviously, when he's in Kufa, he's going to be the one that leads the prayers. At least in some of the main masjid, Masjid al-Kufa, he led the prayers. He led the prayer of the morning, the Fajr prayer. Afterwards, he turned towards the people. He started telling them about piety. He started telling them about what the true companions of the Holy Prophet would be like. He started describing to them that at the time of the Holy Prophet, you guys have moved too far away from the teachings of the Prophet. At the time of my brother, the Holy Prophet, there were companions and believers that spent the night in worship. They stood in the state of qiyam, standing, speaking to their Lord, so long that they would get tired They would lean on one foot. That would get tired. They would lean on the other one. And back and forth, back and forth. That's how much they would be standing in prayer. They would be going to sujood. Their knees had marks. Their foreheads had marks of sujood and worship of Allah. They would spend their nights like this. And yet they begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. And they had fear of Allah in their hearts. They cried and pleaded to Him. This is the way a believer is supposed to be. So Amir al-Mu'mineen tries to do that. The whole idea of the government is to set the grounds to be able to do that. It was very important, but at the time of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh, this process came to an end because they put all the effort to make that possible and it wasn't made possible. The people did not follow through. So what happened? The Imams did not have that responsibility any longer and it wasn't possible any longer. And the Imam al-Husayn, with what he did, by going all the way through and sacrificing himself and his family, and then having that message propagated, different cities told about this, they made it clear that the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt does not agree with this political system. And therefore, the Imams that followed did not carry on with the political message. In terms of words, we still have words coming out, but in terms of carrying out a mission, that was no longer the mission. They didn't have any responsibility. It remains until the Imam of our time comes. That's when we are going to have the government again. So what the Imam does, Imam As-Sajjad salamullah alayhi, he has the responsibility now only to train individuals. So since his time is not going to be dedicated towards trying to deal with political affairs, social political affairs, it is dealing with individuals and training them, he gets more time on that. You have the du'as of the Imam. This is the goal, brothers and sisters, of the religion. Training us. This whole movement of the Imam is for this purpose. The idea of ruling, governing, being in power, going against Yazid, all of this is to train us as individuals, our insight, our spirit, our soul. This is the goal. Sometimes we miss it. A lot of times we miss the point. Recite a salawat, please. The Imam, through his supplications and through his sayings, tries to bring that spirit of Islam back to the people. What had happened, obviously we all know, we've heard this. Since the day the Holy Prophet left this world, there was a drive away from the teachings. At the beginning, it wasn't too clear that this is moving away from the teachings of the Holy Prophet. But gradually, the dunya, the attraction towards the dunya, towards this life, towards the glamour of this world, became prominent through the rulers. At the time of Uthman, this began. The companions of the Holy Prophet started getting involved with dunya in a way that they weren't supposed to. They started committing sins related to the dunya. But things started getting worse and worse and worse. At the time of Imam As-Sajjad salamullah alayh, in Medina, haram music became very common. Fornication became common. Drinking became common. This is what was happening. The Imam is trying to bring the spirits back to life. Brothers and sisters, we are in this atmosphere as well. every direction you look, there is glamour of the dunya. Whether it's haram, the billboards that have images that we're not allowed to look at, sites that have those images, movies that have them, or music that is haram, activities that are haram, and there's so much attraction, it is so common. If you don't do it, you're asked, why is that? It's difficult to practice the haqq. It is difficult to practice Islam. Not only that, those who want to be a little religious and they try to avoid the haram, the glamour of the dunya, even the halal ones, there's so much, it just occupies the mind. Every day there's something new on the market that you like to get. Every day. Non-stop. When you go to the store, you planned on getting 2 items, you end up with 10 or 20. This drive towards the dunya is not something that we are supposed to have. It's not the direction for us to take. We've got to turn to these teachings, to these du'as. So what I'm going to try to do, inshallah, is over the next tonight and the next couple of nights that I'm with you, I'm going to try to go over some of these du'as of Imam As-Sajjad salamullah alayhi, so that maybe it has an effect on my heart and inshallah for the listeners. Recite the salawat. I'm serious when I say about my heart. This is not just something, you know, as we say in Farsi, a ta'aruf to say that for me as well. The glamour of the dunya is something that attracts everyone. And God forbid if the ulama get stuck with that form of glamour. Dua number 51 of Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, a great noble book that we have. The title that they've chosen for this dua is وَكَانَ مِن دُعَائِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فِي التَّذَرُّعِ وَالْإِسْتِكَانَةِ. This title was not given to the dua by the Imam himself. This is a title that is given by those who try to put this together. Looking at the supplication and the dua, they have given it this name. But to understand what this name means and then get into the dua, tadarru', brothers and sisters, is in a way belittling oneself, putting oneself down, humiliating oneself. This is the meaning of tadarru'. The word is repeated in a couple of verses in the Holy Quran. One is Surah A'raf, verse 55, and the same Surah, verse 205. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first one says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أدعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين. When you're calling upon your Lord, when you're requesting things from Him, request them in humility. Don't think you deserve anything. Request in humility. The second one says it even in a way, I don't want to say more interesting, but in a different way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. This is addressing the Holy Prophet. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Remember your Lord within, spiritually, not just the words. I'm sure you've all heard the sermon of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi when he heard someone saying astaghfirullah. The Imam bashed him, tore him apart. Do you even know what you're saying? Just turning around and saying astaghfirullah? This is not istighfar. You're disrespectful. When you're saying astaghfirullah, it means things. Sometimes I feel our adhkar are like that. We pick up tasbih after the prayer is done. Tasbihat Hadrat Fatima to Zahra Salamullah alayha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What is that? Sometimes it really sounds like, even verbally it sounds bad. The Subhanallah, you don't even... These are words that mean things. Dhikr is supposed to be internal. These words are just to prepare your mind, make you think. Says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً with humility and خِيفَةً fear وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ don't say these things loudly بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ every day, not just every day, in the morning and in the evening. Actual remembrance, not just getting up facing the Qibla and saying Allahu Akbar and realizing at the end when we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh that I just finished my Maghrib prayer. Actual remembrance. بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ don't be of the forgetful ones. غَفْلَ is a big problem. Now, تَضَرُّعْ, brothers and sisters, if you remember, I mentioned this word in one of the previous nights. The word تَضَرُّعْ has got a couple of other synonyms in the Arabic language. One of them is خُضُوعْ. The other one is خُشُوعْ. These three words have very similar meanings. I want to go back to a point that we said, that in order to stand, to be able to persevere, we said the verses say, "Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah." The verse in Surah Baqarah that I didn't recite for you that night addresses the Jews. It says, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah." Then it says, "Wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'ala al-khashi'in." In order to remember Allah appropriately, we need to have humility. This dua, the purpose of it, what it teaches us is humility. We need to practice it. We need to not just remind ourselves, we need to practice humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Practicing humility is something that we have on our daily activities, the daily practices that we're supposed to have, but we don't realize it. When you go to ruku', you have to feel that you're nothing. You're putting yourself down, you're humiliating yourself. When you're going to sajda, you're taking your most honored, the most honored body part of yours, your head, and you're putting it in, when you want to put somebody down, okay, or you want to say that you feel really bad, you say you feel like dirt. Dirt is something that has least value. You're putting your forehead on that. That means I am humiliating myself. That's what it means. I feel that, you know, I really don't understand that. When I'm going to sajda, it's just a routine practice. We don't understand the meaning of that. Humility is something that we need to remind ourselves in practice. There's a tradition from the Holy, or the Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, that we are told to try to put that into practice for ourselves. That is, he used to not only go down for prostration, he used to wipe his right side and the left side of his face, his cheeks, on the soil. The way it is said in that hadith, the way a dog does. Okay. To to the master. That's been said something that is great. You have to put yourself down. You have to humiliate yourself. We have to humiliate ourselves. This is the only way that we are going to be able to get the taste and the flavor of spirituality, brothers and sisters. Only through this way. One of the greatest urafa, the recent ones, that lived about maybe about 100 years ago, a little less probably, is, he was a mujtahid, he was an ayatollah, Bahari, Hamadani al-Bahari. He has a book, it's a compilation of his teachings. It's called Tadhkiratul Muttaqeen. I hope somebody translates this book. There's a thirst for spirituality out here, and unfortunately the teachings you get out here and the books that are translated aren't really legitimate and authentic. This is a book that really, really deserves translation. He says, if you want to continuously receive spiritual blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to constantly feel His presence and your humility and your being nothing and needy of Him. This is the dua of the Imam practices this. Kana min du'a'ihi alayhi salam fi tadarru'i wal istikan. They spent time pleading, humiliating themselves. Amir al-Mumin, Dua al-Kumayl is one of those tools. That's one of the purposes of that. It's not just to pick up a mafatih every Thursday night and start reading it from beginning to end. If you don't feel humble and humiliated, then you've lost the purpose. You've lost the goal. Inshallah, in the following nights, we'll get into the actual dua. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. It was upon you and in your homes that the angel brought down the revelation. It was to you that the angels used to come day in and day out with respect. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn, my beloved oppressed Imam, my Imam that on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت الرسول. On these days and nights,
the Ahlul Bayt, the household of the Prophet, those who were respected by the angels, what are they going through? Being disrespected by the enemy. Sallallahu alaykum. Brothers and sisters, it was today that the family of our Imam was ordered to leave to Kufa. The journey without Imam al-Husayn and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas begins today. Try to picture the usara, the captives. Try to picture the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha. Try to picture your Imam Zainul Abidin salamullahi alayha. When they want to leave, the enemy wants to make sure that the women also feel pain. They bring the women and children to see the bodies of the Ahlul Bayt. Imagine the lady Zainab seeing her brother, Imam al-Husayn. No clothes covering the bodies, no heads on the bodies. The horses having trampled on the bodies. Add to that the pain that she's feeling because of her responsibility. She's not able to express all those emotions. Internally, she's burning from seeing Imam al-Husayn like that. Imagine Sukaina seeing the bodies. Which one is my father? Where's Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أن ينقلب ينقلبون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that you hasten the return of our Imam. Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that you enable us to train ourselves to become the companions of our Imam. Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that you prolong the life of and give good health to all of our Maraji' and especially the leader. O Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us a word in Islam of their sins. O Allah, we ask you to grant us all of our hajat and needs. We ask you to relieve all the believers from oppression and hardship that they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih, rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.